Hello, and welcome to another episode of Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where we, two non-mystical hosts, use the power of tarot to answer your questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
That is Brian.
That is Ben.
And we are your hosts here to take you on a magical journey to solve all of your problems in one half an hour.
Yeah, give or take. I mean, sometimes it's only like 23 minutes, and sometimes it's like 39 minutes, but we fall in that range.
Yeah.
If you have an hour commute to work, you're going to listen to something else after us.
Yes, but if you have like a 20-minute commute to work, you're not going to get to the end of the episode.
Yeah, unless you listen to us at like 1.5 or 1.7, and we still sound pretty good at those speeds.
Is that the speeds you listen to us
at? I listen to it at 1.7, yeah.
Okay, well, that was it.
Yeah, I feel like we really covered all the interesting stuff right at the top of the show.
Yeah, I guess we're done?
Well,
I hope your commute is only 2 minutes.
If we were going to continue the show after that point,
okay,
even though we've all obviously already peaked.
Yeah.
What do we do on the show?
Well, I'll say that one thing we don't normally do on the show that you did was that you took 2 tarot decks off your shelf for this episode and then hid them behind your back.
Oh, yeah, because I don't want you to see them yet.
Okay. But the thing that we do normally do on the show is that we answer someone's question. And we do that by drawing 3 cards from a tarot deck that, in the order that we draw them, represent the recent past, the current action, and the future 100% money-back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome for an intermediate person's only outcome.
And then we do a card of the week.
Yes, that's for everyone.
And then we do the outro.
That's just for me.
Well, Ben, should we go ahead and get one of these decks out from behind my back and go into Querence Corner?
I'm very eager, like a young boy on Christmas morning.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's do that.
Okay. Oh, and it's such a long question. How will we ever get to the deck?
This week, our question comes from Anthony from St. Louis.
And Anthony wants to know, should we get hitched? Well, I'm already married, but...
And I have been.
So maybe, I mean, if anybody is, it's going to be you, because it's a very long process for me to get unmarried and remarried to Anthony, and
I just got into this.
And like, so I don't really want to leave it, and you're not allowed to be married to 2 people.
Yeah, so maybe this was more aimed at me because your marriage is public news.
Yeah.
So should we get hitched? I don't know, Anthony. I don't even know you. Go ahead with the question.
All right. Well, assuming Anthony's not talking about either of us, should we get hitched? Maybe will getting married make us boring and old, / isn't unethical to participate in the historically oppressive institution of marriage just for the fun parties and the tax breaks, / is the potential joy worth the potential risk of family drama and nonsense that comes with such an event? I appreciate that Anthony wrote /
yeah
into the question. All right. Well, there's a lot there.
There is a lot there. Do you have any pre-advice?
I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, because you're an old married advice. Man.
I'm an old married man. But the fact of the matter was, I was old and boring before I got married.
Yeah.
Marriage didn't make me old and boring.
Wait, so I'm old and unmarried, but I'm not an old maid. Am I an old butler? What
is the opposite of maid?
The opposite of maid.
I love old butler. Can women be butlers?
Women can do anything they want to
do. I mean, I know they can, but like, have you ever seen a movie where the butler was a woman?
No, I've only ever seen the movie where butlers are old white men.
Yes. I think that we have a really good idea.
Old butlers. Is that the same thing as a confirmed bachelor? Because confirmed bachelor is like old school dog whistle code word for a gay guy.
Mm.
And so I don't want to tread on those toes.
No. But also, like, when you say confirmed bachelor, that could be seen as like, ooh, cool. Like, he's going out. He's hitting the town. Whereas, like, old maid is not in any way cool.
No, there's no, like, jazzed up version of old maid.
No. Confirmed bachelorette?
Well, see, a bachelorette is different from a bachelor because a bachelorette is a woman one night before she gets married.
I'm still stuck on the fact that there's never been a movie. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of movies, but you have. And there's no...
I have. I've never seen...
Like, Lady Butler.
A woman butling anything.
But, all right. Well, coming out in maybe 2020, 2021, Lady Butler, a film by Ben and Brian.
Oh, boy.
All right. So back to the question after that slight detour. You got old and you're not married.
I would say that was a very slight detour for us. that was like you pulled off on the exit because you were going to go to Dairy Queen. And then you're like, nah. And you just got right back on the ramp. We've had a lot worse departures.
Yeah. Lady Butler. Okay, so you got old without getting married.
No, I did get married. I just got unmarried because I wasn't good at it.
But then you're still old. That didn't go away when you
got unmarried. Right, I remained old. So now I'm just an old butler.
Yes, and I am married and I am boring. I'm not that old, comparatively.
But you're only as old as you feel.
I'm old on the inside.
Yeah.
And that was all accurate before I got married. I feel like getting married will not make you boring and old. Only you will make yourself boring and old.
No.
And also,
only you will make yourself boring.
True. Time will make you old.
Time will make you old if you're lucky.
True. Good point.
So, the longer you stayed married, the older you'll get.
Also, there is some science that married men live longer than unmarried men. I think the theory is that men are stubborn. I certainly am. Mm-hmm. And that when a man is complaining about like, oh, you know, like my leg hurts or whatever, if he was by himself, he would just let his leg hurt. And then turns out he has cancer and he's dead. Whereas his wife is tired of like him complaining or is concerned for him and is like, you should go to the doctor. And then she makes him go to the doctor. And then the doctor is like, you have cancer, but we can get it. And then he lives.
But if he was unmarried, then they wouldn't be able to get it.
He just wouldn't go to the doctor. If he went to the doctor, he'd be fine.
So being married ensures that you won't die of a disease.
Maybe.
Is that why we get married?
I'm just summarizing some research that I'm aware of, but haven't directly read.
Is that research that directly affected your decision to get married? Were you like, well, I don't want to die.
No. But I have another tangential point that I want to... It's not tangential. It's back to the question, which is like, will getting married make us boring and old? And I feel like only if you decide to let it make you boring and old, because like you could not get married. It sounds like you're committed to this person. Mm-hmm. So if the two of you decided like, we're not going to get married, but we're going to be a serious couple forever, whether or not you have a wedding ring and the title of spouse.
Yeah, that to me is the same as being married.
Right. It's essentially the same thing without the aforementioned tax breaks. So like, you can still be boring and old without being married in the eyes of the government.
Yeah, or just having a ring to brag about it to people who weren't able to stay married.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I deal with that part of the question.
Okay.
Is it unethical to participate in the historically oppressive institution of marriage? I feel like this is one I'm going to kick to you.
I have feelings about the historically oppressive institution of marriage, and so I'm pretty much against it for me.
Marriage.
Marriage for me. And
does it have to do with the oppression?
It does have to do with the viewpoint of marriage and what marriage is in our society. And there's so many deep issues that I'm just trying to tread right past right now.
Just call the number. Talk to Brian about it.
Yeah, just call me. We can talk about it. I can bring you down all day long.
All right.
But they're saying they're participating in the historically oppressive institution of marriage just for the fun parties and the tax breaks. And so now you're getting to a point where you're using the tool against itself. And I like that.
Okay.
I like that a lot.
The final question is the potential joy and the potential risk of family drama and nonsense that comes with such an event. Is that worth it? And I am somebody with a very low threshold for doing things that I don't want to do. You can just ask my wife. And I would say to keep in mind, let's just intuit how old Anthony is.
Early 20s.
Okay. Anthony's in his early 20s, which means that potentially you have 60 or 70 more years of your life to go.
Or, depending on the state of science, an infinite number of years to go.
Yes. You have much more of your life ahead of you than behind you. And so let's
I thought you were going to say you have much more of your life ahead of you than Brian.
That is also true. You for sure have, according to science, you for sure have a lot more time than Brian. So even if this event causes family drama and nonsense, it's like a year of your life. And then the family drama and nonsense is over and nobody gives a rat's behind about you or your marriage anymore. I can confirm, having been married for like 8 months now, that once the event was over, people cared for one more month. And then now nobody cares at all.
Yeah, it's like a birthday.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares really that it's coming up, except that maybe they have a responsibility, they have to do something for you, and then there's the big day, and everybody pretends that the world is about you for a day, and then afterwards...
Yeah, so even if there is family drama and nonsense, that's like 1 year of your life for 70 more years after that, so the ratio is very much in favor of just dealing with it for a small amount of time.
I'm wondering what this family drama is. Like, are they two wildly mismatched people? Or are their families, like, one of them is from the country and one is, like, from Downton Abbey.
The city.
And they cannot stand to be around each other. Mm. And so the whole wedding itself is just going to be a comedy of errors of each of you trying to keep your families in their separate areas? Mm. Or is there something more sinister going on?
Oh, I assumed it was something innocuous, like someone's mom really cares about who's sitting where.
Mm.
And what color the flowers have to be and something like that.
Okay.
Which is like annoying, but whatever.
Or maybe there's several young children and there's like a whole bracket system of people trying to figure out who's going to be the ring bearer and who's going to be the flower dropper.
Mm, the flower dropper. And who's going to be the old butler?
That'll be me.
Brian will come and be the old butler. All right, enough from us. We had a lot of pre-thoughts.
There are a lot of pre-thoughts.
I don't think it was pre-advice. It was no just advice. Pre-thoughts.
Well,
if we're going to give pre-advice, I'll say yes and you'll say no. So there's your pre-advice.
Yeah, I guess my advice would boil down to no, but it's a total non-judgmental no. And I think that everybody should be allowed to do whatever feels right for them.
I second that, except for I say yes instead of no.
Right. And so let's see what the cards say.
Yeah, that's what you're here for.
Real advice.
That's what you're here for. That's the canonical advice. Our advice is not canon.
Here is the deck that I would like you to use. And also, this deck is a gift from Indie Deck Review to
me.
You.
These are never good.
No, I think you're going to be surprised.
Okay. The Legend of Tarot. I feel like we need like some like lute music
some
here.
Ocarina music.
Sure. That's what it looks like. Okay, this could be a good gift from Indie Deck Review. The last time I got a gift from Indie Deck Review wasn't quite the gift that I had hoped for.
Nightmares ever since.
Yeah.
Almost ended your marriage.
Okay, well, here we are. It's what you thought. It's The Legend of Zelda, the Tarot. How fun.
And you really like The Legend of Zelda, right?
I do like The Legend of Zelda.
Wonderful, good. Because if I was wrong on that, then this whole keeping it a surprise and like gifting it to you do not make
sense
at all.
Well, thank you to you and to Indie Deck Review. Did you review this deck?
No, you're going to get to review this deck on
great.
Indie Deck
Review. So it's a gift and work. All right, cool. Well,
we're going to need that review pretty soon.
Okay, well, I'll leave now. So we have colored pencil drawings of Legend of Zelda characters doing tarot things. Who's this person? There's like, looks like Dorothy and Toto. On the Nine of Rupees.
No idea.
They are not an elf. They do not seem to fit in, but...
Do you think Link is an elf?
I think so. He's got those ears. I guess she has elf ears, too.
But everybody on their planet has elf ears, right?
Yeah. They're all elves. Four stars.
Four stars.
Four stars for flavor.
That means it's going to be going into a bracket as well.
Yeah, a lot of... Too many tarots for the... What if we have too many?
We'll have a pre-meeting where you and I just arbitrarily cut some decks out.
Okay. We'll just roll a d20. All right. Here we are. Anthony wants to know if he should get married.
Yeah, should we get hitched? A lot of follow-ups.
Flip. Oh my god, it's the Nine of Rupees. How bizarre. It knew I was making fun of it. Because doesn't it just look like the Wizard of Oz? Rather
than
Zelda?
Yeah, because Toto's right there.
Yeah.
I think that
Toto's there. Yeah, it's a woman in a yellow dress holding Toto in sort of like trees. The Nine of Rupees.
How does that relate to what I assume must be the Nine of Coins?
It is. I guess the dog is supposed to be the bird.
Okay. Okay.
And then there are rupees growing on these trees.
Okay, I couldn't see that from here.
Yep. And then in the background, there's what looks like a pen that you would keep a horse in, but there's no horse in it.
Is there someone in the Zelda mythos that takes care of Epona, the horse?
I don't know.
Is that the horse's name?
I believe so.
Yeah. That was the last Zelda game I played. Was the one where you meet Epona. I think it was on Nintendo 64.
Okay, I remember that. Well, here's this person. The Nine of Rupees.
You know what other game I really grudgingly loved on Nintendo 64?
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1.
No.
Super Smash Brothers, the original.
I've never played that.
Super Mario 64.
No.
I've named all of the games.
Pod Racer.
Oh, I know that game.
Yeah, that game came out at the same time as the movies that it was based on, which are the Star Wars prequels.
Huh, and I have, Star Wars, what's that?
I have very strong feelings about the Star Wars prequels, but I think that Pod Racer game was probably the best game on Nintendo 64 besides Zelda.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's nothing wrong with that. That was a fun game. I played that. It's like Mario Kart, but Star Wars. Isn't every racing game just Mario Kart, but real cars?
Some of them are, like, really in-depth, like... Yeah. what your tire pressure going to be and like watch
out. I'm like, I don't even know the tire pressure of the regular car that I drive.
Yeah, I can't see the number on the tire, so I don't know.
All right, well, the Nine of Coins, it's all about living that luxurious life.
Living that luxe life. And so up to this point in your life,
in the mythos of Anthony's life,
Anthony's been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be looking up right now.
Yes.
And so that makes sense that you'd be like, I want to have another person to join me in mm-hmm. this wonderful journey that I'm on.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So that brings you to now when you're asking the question.
Flip. Oh, goodness. The devil. Wow. Pretty intense. This is like Ganondorf's evolved evil form.
Is Ganondorf different from Ganon? Because Ganon was the bad guy in The Legend of Zelda.
Maybe this is Ganon. I don't think I know as much about The Legend of Zelda as you think I know.
You are the
expert. I just like it, but I don't know that much about it.
Well, you better pretend to know a lot about
sure,
it.
Sure, they're the same.
Oh, okay, cool.
Ganon is the soul energy he becomes man form Ganondorf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what happens. So here he is, the devil, with his two swords and green eyes coming at you.
The green-eyed devil, that's envy.
You're right. Okay, well, this makes a lot of sense, too, because it seems like, well, before what I say, it seems like the devil is normally about feeling bound to do something or bound to something that you don't want to be bound to, right?
That is one reading of the devil. I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I have another less ominous reading of the devil.
Okay.
But
no, go.
I want to hear where you're going with this.
Oh, I was just going to say that this is representative of marriage in that Anthony feels like it's something that is supposed to happen and something that has to be done, even though Anthony may not be that eager for it.
Okay. Another facet of the devil, not to naysay what you just said, but another facet are like the good parts of the devil, which is like the sex, drugs, and rock and roll portions of the devil. If it feels good, do it. And I think that right now, coming off of this Nine of Rupees, everything feels really good.
Okay.
Not to say only superficially, but definitely superficially, everything feels great. And so then that again is a good reason, like you have a good foundation that you built with this Nine of Rupees, and now you're on to the devil where you have like good details, because that's where the devil is. So like all the that's good terrible. Stuff. I know, but it made sense.
Okay. But doing like a nuanced reading of the question, it does seem like things are good. And Anthony's now trying to like pinpoint issues.
Yeah, I think Anthony right now is straddling between like the good parts of the devil and the more anchoring parts of the devil.
Okay. Well, here's the future. Flip. Epona, the horse.
Hey.
The chariot.
It's like magic is real.
A little bit. You have the chariot, but there's no chariot. It's just a rearing horse.
Yeah, and you would have to know who Epona is for that to matter, because that is who Link rides.
Yes.
All throughout Hyrule.
Yes.
Is it still Hyrule?
Yes.
Okay.
Always Hyrule. It's always the same. Like, there's no... It's not linear, you know?
Yeah. It's like they take different characters named Link and different characters named Zelda and different characters named Ganon.
Ganon slash Ganondorf.
Slash Ganondorf.
And just a different version of the same events.
Yeah. So the chariot.
All about moving forward.
Moving forward. Success.
Action.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Or making the right choice.
Yeah.
In particular.
Yes. So, yes, you should get hitched.
I think so. I think the cards
hitched are... Hitched horses?
Oh, yes.
So there you go. Magic is real.
Yeah, I agree. Magic is real. And you should get hitched. And you should have us do a live satellite show from your...
Wedding?
Wedding. So that's just something to think about and to definitely include in your wedding plans. And we'll be looking forward to
our the rates invitation. Are very reasonable.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that it would cause any family drama or nonsense.
We could cause some nonsense, but we wouldn't be causing family nonsense.
Sure.
Because as far as I know, we are not related.
Just our trademark brand of nonsense.
Yeah. Just those wacky tarot zingers that everybody loves at their wedding.
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, magic is real.
Hope that helped, Anthony. We've got success. We've got questions. And we've got
horses.
Get hitched. So yeah, get hitched. We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Anthony, for your question.
And now we'll move on to queer. Nope, we already did that.
We just got out of there.
Okay. I'm so wistful for the good days back in Queerin's Corner. Now let's go to Card of the Week. Now another deck you're pulling out from behind your back, called the New Era Elements Tarot.
And look who it's by.
Eleanor F. Piper, PhD.
Do you know who that is?
She is the same person who did the Harry Potter tarot deck.
That's right.
Although, in the intervening time, she has become a doctor. Because I don't think it said PhD on the last tarot.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she was a doctor before, but she definitely is now.
She either became a doctor, congrats, or was like showing off a little bit this time.
Yeah, well, so this deck, her first deck, the Harry Potter deck, is independently published, probably because of incredible trademark questions.
heroic trademark questions.
But this one is printed by Llewellyn.
Okay.
So it's a mainstream deck.
Okay.
And it is about to go into your hands. I've never looked at the whole thing before.
Okay. Well, the New Era Elements Tarot. I would love to know what the theme is because I'm looking at the first five cards and I have no idea what the unifying theme is.
Well, let me help with a little box copy.
Sure.
Uniquely relevant and accessible, New Era Elements replaces the traditional symbolism of tarot with images of 21st century global life.
Okay.
Piper's four tarot suits are explicitly connected to the four elements, fire, water, air, and earth, and the court cards represent four distinct world cultures. The 116-page companion booklet will help the reader interpret the meanings behind each of these exquisitely drawn contemporary cards.
Okay, that makes more sense then. Because the first card, the Fool, it's like a baby in an egg, or maybe a womb. Or maybe that's just a background element. Maybe it's everything. Then there's a crazy salesman who's juggling all these things. There's like a stock market man, basically. Then there's just a teenage girl with tarot cards. Maybe that's Eleanor herself. And then there's a woman and her child, but they look, maybe they're in Africa or something. So I was like, what is uniting all of these things? But the answer is 21st century life.
Mm.
And then, holy cow, the devil is very intense. I think they're like sleeping young boys. And then there's like a Nazi symbol and a communist symbol and a dollar symbol in the background.
This card makes some statements.
Statements have been made. And then the suits all have their own, I guess their own thing going on. I'm not entirely sure. I think one is Native Americans. And I think one is like Asian philosophy. Another one, I'm not sure, just boring people. And another one is like African tribes, maybe. All right.
Cool.
A lot on that deck.
That's the New Era Elements Tarot by Eleanor Piper. Do you say Piper?
Yes, that's what I said. Okay. PhD.
I've been saying Piper.
I think it's Piper.
Okay, so Eleanor F. Piper, PhD.
3 stars for this deck. I actually like the minor arcana cards a lot. They just have nice like nature scenes on them, most of them.
Well, I hope that makes them readable. Oh, it doesn't matter because this is the card of the week. So yep. I'm going to read it out of the book anyway.
She also does what she does on the Harry Potter deck, which is she has a word that describes each minor arcana card.
Oh, that's helpful.
Man, what's it like to pursue your doctorate and have time to make a bunch of tarot decks?
Right? Especially, these are all, what do you think, they're pencil art?
Yes.
Yeah, pencil and ink art. So it's just really detailed, photorealistic pencil drawings.
Yeah, they're really good drawings.
Maybe Eleanor has a PhD in pencil drawing.
Maybe.
Wait, a PhD is like a hospital doctor, right?
No.
No?
No.
An MD is a hospital doctor.
Yes. PhD is a doctor of philosophy.
I'm pretty much a doctor in that I know a lot of things.
I'm just going to move on from this into the card of the week.
All right.
Flip. It is the 6 of... Who could know what that symbol means?
That is Earth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. AKA the 6 of coins. It's people like hiking up Everest.
So Earth is coins.
Okay.
So it's the 6 of coins. What's the 6 of coins normally represent?
The charity man.
Aha. Well, the 6 of Earth represents success. Correspondences, Moon and Taurus. So if that means something to you,
there you go.
You're probably better than us. Keywords, yes. Positive keywords, overcoming of crisis, material success, achievement, optimism. Negative keywords, disappointment at results, loss of gratitude and generosity. Meaning, the card is associated with harmony and fullness, wealth, and the fulfillment of wishes. We achieve our goals, and events seem to be working out in our favor. Exploring the card. A group of 6 mountaineers has reached a summit, offering them a spectacular view of the snow-clad peaks around them. They are roped together to show that their achievement was a team effort.
Cool.
So, I guess this week I would say, work together with others towards your mutual success?
Yes. I would agree.
All right, we did it.
Do it. Go do that.
Climb that mountain.
Well,
and here we are.
We've done it again. We've done another episode of the show.
So I guess the first thing to do is to thank Anthony for their in-depth and probing question about butlers.
Old butlers. And thank you very much to all of the other lols who decided to join us this week.
Oh, you know what, Ben? Let's have a moment of silence for lost lols.
All right.
Where can they find us?
Online at amateurtarot.com. That's our website. Go there. On the homepage, you can send us your questions that we will answer about butlers or otherwise.
And you can also call that question in at 314-325-6047. And if you call or text in the next 10 minutes,
you will get this unopened thing sitting on Brian's desk that I'm very curious about called the Ruin Deck.
Ooh.
Numenera.
Yeah, that's from Numenera from Monte Cook Games. It's a role-playing game. And I funded it on Kickstarter like a year ago. And they've been just parceling out these great updates that keep coming to me physically and digitally. It is a great Kickstarter campaign and a great game to play.
Well, you'll get that pack of cards if you call now.
Oh, you know Seth, who has been sometimes a co-host on here?
I know him.
Is also my game master. That's who I'm giving those cards to.
Oh, okay. Well, you can get Seth's cards if you call now.
Yeah, you better do it quick.
All right. We are on Twitter at Tarot Amateur and on Instagram at Amateur Tarot.
We are on Facebook at /AmateurTarot and Facebook groups at /AmateurTarot.
Unrelated to Tarot, Brian's on Twitter at ZenIronMan. Go there for politics and memes.
And unrelated to politics and memes, you can find Ben at I'mMakingAllThisUp.com. That's not Twitter.
Nope.
And at I'mMakingAllThisUp.com, you can find Ben saying a lot of funny stuff that tricks you into being a better person.
Unlike this show, we have a Patreon. It's a website that you can go to and support our work. For the most part, Brian spends a lot of time on the show and a lot of money putting the show out on the internet and editing it and microphones and making us sound good.
In the arms of an angel.
And so, for the cost of one cup of coffee a month, you can help Brian not lose money on this venture. He would really appreciate it, and I would too.
And thanks to all of our current Patreon subscribers, I will be coming up with more formulations of things I can do for you very soon.
Is that just like patreon.com/amateurtarot?
It is.
That's it.
Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It doesn't cost anything and it helps us out a lot.
We would appreciate that. And now we've arrived at item number 9. Thank you too. And I'm going to thank PhDs for making people sound a lot smarter.
Speaking of sounding smart and PhDs, you said that it's a doctor of philosophy.
That's what it stands for.
Is it just any philosophy? Because I'm pretty sure that PhD comes after a lot of people's names.
Yes, it's like, yeah, it's any non-medical doctor.
So
like
PhD is
just like you get a bachelor's of arts or whatever. Like a bachelor's of arts, like that's for people who study history and math and whatever. They all get bachelor's of science. But
do you get a PhD in those things also?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
If you want to.
Can you get a PhD in being a medical doctor?
I don't think so. But you could get like a PhD in the history of medicine.
So you could be a PhD and an MD.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's uncommon or common?
Probably uncommon because it's very hard. Because you have to do medical school and like your PhD school.
Which one would you do first? I guess your PhD school because that's what you're doing.
But I'm not trying to become an MD.
But you can.
Sure.
After you become...
You could also become an MD and then a PhD. You could also be an MD and a PhD. Like, you could be a doctor of philosophy of English and also a doctor who cures cancer.
Oh, me? Nah. I'm just an old butler. Spoiler alert. Magic is real.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Amateur Tarot Pod. On this... Starting over.